and welcome to another jam-packed episode of BJJ's Board Game Alliance. We're on number 72, and I am your host, Joey, meticulously memeing most monumental moments. These, yes,
wow,
I win.
You tried. You tried.
I did.
You tried, Sean. I saw the look on your face. But you couldn't do it today, could you?
That's right. I couldn't
get you. Now we're starting out the show strong. And of course, next to me is Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going? We're starting out the stove strong?
Stove. My stove's on?
Does this count?
This counts.
So it's a win for us.
No, it doesn't count.
Oh, darn.
Ha-ha! Sean Epperson of Think 12 Games, the Nemesis, is here.
Oh, hey, hey.
And Vicky Barcelona.
Hi.
Vicky B. Hello. I'm still going good. Josh, how can the Lovely Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Go to bjgeeknation.com to get all the podcasts, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
I really do love more.
Search for Facebook. You can search for Facebook. You'll find it pretty quickly, in which you can search for BJ Geek Nation. Also on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
Ah, that's awesome. Guys, talked about it being jam-packed. Why is it jam-packed? Because we played so many board games that, well, my head is spinning. What were those board games? What? Well, we were at Zulu's. You guys were a Flying Frog, and I believe even more.
Yeah, we've had quite a few busy weekends over the last month.
And when I say busy, I mean I was in a chair eating Cheez-Its, drinking soda, and rolling dice
and eating cupcakes. Well, I was.
Ooh, cupcakes!
Yes,
the cupcakes were delicious, but the cookies with the frosting for the cupcakes was also delicious.
Side note, hack for when you do board game events at your house. If you're going to make cupcakes, don't ice your cupcakes. One, it's going to save you the trouble. And two, people can add the icing themselves. They can add as much or as little as they would like, and then they can add it on other stuff. And you just save yourself like 25 minutes of trying to ice cupcakes.
It was quite amazing. I endorse this endeavor. Sorry if the frosting was gone.
R.I.P. cupcakes. But guys, Flying Frogs, a local gaming production company, was so kind enough to host the lovely BJ among other great friends, including, I believe, BJ himself.
Yeah, so we do it like about a year, once or twice a year, we try to get together and just in like a non-work thing, just get together and play games because we're all really, really busy, but we like hanging out with each other. We want the chance to play games.
We all like hanging out with ourselves, our friends, and then sometimes BJ.
Yes. And we played a few games, and BJ may or may not have been the target of said games, if you guys saw on our Instagram.
And he was quite literally the target.
Yes. But we did start off when we got there, and I'm totally blanking on the name, Magic Maze, I believe.
Yes.
Is the game we started off playing. And if you heard on the last episode of the podcast, I kind of teased it. So basically, you guys, we are all going to go on a quest. But before we go on a quest, we need weapons. But we need money to get weapons. But we need to go on a quest to get money to get these weapons. So what do? We go into a mall and steal the weapons. That is basically...
Well, weapons are at the mall.
Yeah. So we go into a mall and we each get a different card, which tells us which direction we can go in. There's multiple players on the board, but we all have to work together and move the players where we need them to go. So in my direction, I can only go, let's say, south. So I can only move player south. Another player can only move west or whatever. And so you're trying to get to certain spots. The kicker... You can't talk.
At all.
You cannot communicate with each other. You cannot point.
What?
You cannot, no. You only get this little dial, or not dial, but this little, I don't know, what would you call it?
Marker.
Marker. Like, it's a big one.
Yeah, like a wooden.
It almost looks like a stamp without a stamp.
Yeah.
And so when it's somebody's turn and they're not seeing it, that they need to make a move, you put it in front of them.
Oh, okay. That's at least allows a little bit of communication. Small amount.
But the problem is, they're saying, do your thing.
And you're sitting here like, what do I have to do? Like, which one, where?
Oh, gosh. You get that nervous, like, I have to move.
On top of this, you have 3 minutes.
Ah, that's enough minutes for things to go chaotic.
No. So, in order to get more time, they do have certain spots with, like, the little hourglass. Once you hit that spot, you flip the hourglass over so you get more time. Obviously, you want to wait until you're almost out of time so you get the full 3 minutes. This is the time where you can talk. So if you have any strategies like, look, okay, we need to do this, let's go here, but you are wasting precious time. But in so the second you move a player or move a piece, it's silence again.
So how many weapons did you guys get?
Well, also when you flip that timer and you're done talking, you also rotate that one direction you can go, so now you have a new direction.
Oh,
so you have
great.
To remember you're going in a different direction. And some of these direction cards also have other tasks to do. So some will help you go up escalators, because malls are not just one floor.
No, not the good ones.
Another one, once you get to a certain spot, that player, you have a little magnifying glass, adds a room to your mall.
Ooh.
So adds squares. So you have to be aware. If you have the little hour or the magnifying glass, you have to be adding squares around so you can explore more places so you can get what you need, because you need to make it bigger.
I'd be going straight to the Sears store. I hear they have some great weapons there.
Great deals. You know, they're going out of business.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So did you guys actually get weapons? What happened?
We got all the weapons.
Yes, and we...
We were all looking at the door.
Yes, we were... We almost made it.
So close.
You got caught by the mall security?
I mean, just about. You know, we ran out of time.
He got you.
Yep, Paul Blart got us.
But that wasn't Vicky's favorite part.
No, my favorite part, when they told us, they were explaining the rules, they told us the part where you can't say a word at the very end of the explanation, and I just screamed, effing finally! Because BJ had to shut the hell up.
Oh,
and he
God.
Was not happy about it.
I love it.
I mean, and he is not a big fan of cooperative games as it is, because there's typically an alpha. When you're playing Pandemic, especially if one player knows how to play better than the others and the other guys are noobs, one player takes over and tells you how to play the entire game.
Yeah, I can see that.
When I play Pandemic, I like to make sure, I'm like, okay, whatever you want to do, you pick, you know, make sure that the betas do what they want to do.
No.
This is not a game where you can really have an alpha.
No, it's really hard-pressed. They did a good job coming up away. How do you silence the alpha? Just
silence everyone.
Silence alpha. Silence everybody.
But what did you guys think?
I thought it was really, really hard.
It is.
I am not great at this game. I keep, I'm so busy, trying to map the maze that the time is just going away and I'm not doing anything and everybody's slapping that thing in front of me like, oh, okay, sorry.
We think we played the easier version, right?
Yeah, we did.
Because there's two versions. There's the beginner version and then there's the more complicated one, which I believe the more complicated one is that everyone has to, we all try to exit out of the same exit. And in the more complicated one, you have to exit according to your color.
Oh my God.
So you have to find the exit with your color and get there.
I bet that would not have happened.
And it's...
I mean, there are little warps, so you can, you know, tunnel through.
You gotta keep in mind, it's not really your color. You're all trying to get all four to their destinations.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
Oh
yeah, he came late.
Yeah. You came late, Sean. How dare you? You didn't get to exit out of the blue door.
I didn't.
I think it was purple door, but that we played.
The purple door.
I think it's one of those games, if you have friends over and they're kind of into gaming but not super big nerdy board gamers, I think they might find this fun. This could be a fun party game, just especially if they like to use their brains. It's a lot of fun, because then there's all that discussion after the timer. It's just like,
you know what's funny, when you're an older gamer, and I just mean maybe over 20 or even 25, right, being silent is a lot more of a punishment almost as a task. But when you see children who are between 8 and 15 be silent, it's almost exciting for them, because they're like, oh, we have to be silent. You
it's
think
like,
we can do it, you
game.
Know? Yeah,
it's
yeah.
exciting for their parents too.
Somebody with kids.
Guaranteed.
Josh's like, I got a 2-hour game for you guys and you can't say a word, but don't worry, it's part of the game. It's called Josh's game.
As a parent to BJ Shea, yes, I can agree. But I mean, that's the kind of game I realized that I actually really enjoy, because I love playing Splendor for the very reason that nobody talks. It's not that you can't talk, is that you're so concentrated on making your moves that you don't really end up talking to anybody. And I kind of like that idea of just concentrating, actually thinking, having a task, goal, and then just doing it.
Yeah, my favorite part about games like that, like you were saying, like Splendor, is when everyone's going for, in any game, really, one specific card, or they don't know, right? And it's kind of silent, and you're all building your resources, and then, the turn before you're going to get the card, someone buys the card, and you just look at me and go, you son of a bitch!
It's like, I love that you can still talk, and you can still cuss people out, but there's no negotiating, which I think is what also BJ didn't like. It's like, there's no, heckling anybody, it's just go.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty cool. So that was just one. I assume you guys play infinite board games.
Well, I got to play one with Joey.
Oh, hey, that's me.
We got to play Tiny Epic Mix.
Yes!
And I played this a lot this weekend. I played it at Zulu's with you. I played it at 4th of July with the kids. I played it at a game night last night. I love Tiny Epic Mix. I really enjoyed it.
I got to tell you. So, for those of you who don't know, Tiny Epic kind of creates these games that come in a small little box. And they're very portable.
What, they could probably fit into an Altoids container or something like that? Or
maybe a little bit bigger.
No, bigger than that.
Yeah.
But pretty similar, to be quite honest. I mean, it's the size of you would expect your maybe your car book to be. You know, not very bigger than that. Very small.
It's like a VHS tape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just about maybe even smaller than that
I feel
sometimes.
Like we're dating ourselves. Uh-oh. VHS tape.
It's like Tiny Epic Games. Shoot it.
It's smaller than your Chromebook, kids. No.
Yeah. It's half the size of your iPad.
iPad mini size. There you go.
Okay, there you go.
It's an iPad mini.
So first of all, you get to build a mech. And I'm telling you, you get to build it. You get to pick out your guns. You get your little power suit. You can get into a bigger mech. The game is awesome. Essentially, it's very simple. It's just 16 tiles or 20 tiles. And you essentially program your turn. You like kind of control your little mech like a battle bot. You program your turn, and then you try to fight people's mechs.
And sometimes you get to use all your cards.
Okay, this is pretty funny. The amount of times that we had to, not redo, but we got knocked out of our turn or got lost a fight and then like had to stare at our cards and go, oh God, I have to replay my cards again? Oh no.
Well, when you retreat or get KO'd or knocked out of a mech, you go into ad hoc mode. So you don't have to run your program anymore. You can now pick any card, even cards you've already played. So there's an advantage there to you're not just going to get spawn killed, because you do, if you die, you respawn at your base.
Okay.
If you get knocked out, you just go somewhere adjacent. And if their program, which still runs, hops them forward, they can really do some damage on you. So they balance that out by you can do whatever you want, as long as you don't start a battle on the first ad hoc.
I feel like this is a Sean thing, right?
Yeah, I get to play one round of this with Josh. Is like, here, take my round. I did terrible, but I love programming games, and that idea of being able to like switch up your program all of a sudden, you're like, wow, that kind of opens things up again.
Yeah, it's very interesting too, because for those of you who don't play, there's more of it's a spatial game for sure, because you have to see exactly where your unit's going to go and where other people's units are going to go, because if I'm moving to the right and someone's moving to the left, well, I might hit them and then have to fight, which is kind of the cool idea, because you're trying to place mines and bases to get resources. And it's incredibly complex for how small of a game it is and how much thinking that goes into it. Because that's what I always assume. When you see a small box, you think 30-minute game, probably going to do one or two things, and then we're going to repeat, and it's going to kind of be like a compete or collect kind of a game. This game, on the other hand, was think about 10 turns ahead of what you're going to do, because you're going to have to move your guy a bunch of times or switch moving your guys. And the amount of times we screwed up placing our cards was incredible.
Well, what was great is actually Joey figured out real quick the Mighty Mech, the biggest mech you can get in, you can't upgrade it anymore and you can't heal it. So you're in it until you get knocked out. So he really quickly figured out, well, this thing's job is to run around and stomp everybody else's buildings. Yeah, absorb damage, but while you're taking damage, you're taking out other people's mines and turrets, which is robbing them of anywhere from 1 to 6 points per item. And that's a lot of points to have wiped off the board in one person's turn.
Oh, it was crazy. It was so fun. I got right into the Mighty Mech, immediately switched, because it has two different powers you can use. One's more of an attack, one's more of a movement. I chose the movement, blastered myself to the other side of the map, and just ran through all of Joss's buildings and blew my mech up. Which worked out really well until BJ came, killed me, Josh killed me, got in my Mighty Mech, then started attacking me.
I still lost, Mr. 19 points in one turn.
That's true. I did have a sweet 19-point turn, but can you believe this? We somehow let BJ win.
Ah, boo.
I blame Sean. I wasn't there for the last turn.
Sean, why?
I had very little points.
I got to tell you, in terms of creativity, this game is right up there. I think that I have not played a whole lot of programming games where you program your turn out beforehand and then kind of move something around. I know they exist, but for the amount of complexity, the box, the cost, I mean, you're not going to get a better game.
Yeah, it was surprisingly good. That one's by Gameling Games. Tiny Epic Mix.
And the Meeples, boys. The Meeples.
And item Meeples.
Yes.
You You plug they don't you don't need them, but a meeple holding a sword and a grenade launcher is a wonderful thing.
It's pretty cool. And he goes into the Big Mac. Your small meeple gets to get into the Big Mac, and then you're the super meeple.
Oh, I realize that we actually did play a game that's gonna really, really surprise Joe, because even I played it. I played one of those bluffing games.
What?
Yeah.
I think you hate those games.
I really do.
Because you don't bluff.
I don't like bluffing.
I'm lying. No!
She's like, just so much arguing. And then BJ likes to make alliances and then break alliances. So, it was, but I actually, I'm like, well, you know what? Everyone's playing it and it seems like a quick one. And we played dead last when we were at Flying Frog. Yeah. And there's a pretty big group of us.
Yeah,
and if you guys have checked out our Instagram and Facebook page, you will see that everyone on one turn, just without, there was very little deliberation. Because it was such a big table that half the table would talk amongst themselves and the other half would talk amongst ourselves. And it was basically like an us versus them mentality until we've knocked one side of the table out and then those people knock themselves out.
Straight up Survivor.
Basically. Yeah, BJ was green on one round. Everyone voted for him because I guess they wanted him to shut up. Well, at least that's why I voted for him.
Well, we had an oracle from the other side. Sean was texting the whole table.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, Jesuyn's interesting.
Cheating, too, sometimes.
Cheating is actually a thing that you are legitimately allowed to do in the game.
Not. I didn't mean actually cheating. You were dishonest with me is what I meant to say. Yes.
So you can, any way that you can give information to someone is free to do so. So you can, I was texting people, sending them information via Facebook Messenger, and then I would maybe not do what I said I was going to do to trick them.
Well, once we all listened to you, wink, wink, and got rid of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Sneaky, and everyone's like, nope, you screwed us over. We all conspired against him.
Oracle's dead.
But it's cute because it is bluffing, but it's, you're kind of in a team, but you're not. So you just kind of play it by ear, and if you get knocked out, it's not the end of the world. You're going to get back up and just a turn.
I like the idea of you have to be cooperative, but everyone's out to backstab each other.
Yes.
Because even creates so many good board game experiences. So many experiences in the game,
Even during the rules explanation, I rolled behind BJ, and he was talking about how you play, and you vote for somebody, and I was pointing at him.
Yeah.
So the whole table for the first game. We almost got the all green on the first round, but
I think
somebody wasn't listening.
Yep. Nope. But the idea of the game is if you vote for somebody and nobody else votes for them, you get out. You get knocked out.
Yeah, if the person who has the majority is not the person you picked, you're out.
Yes. So let's say 10 of us and 8 of us voted for green and you voted for red. Well, you're out. Or there's 2 of you that voted for red.
You're both out? Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get out quick. Then like everyone, it takes turns until everyone can be out. If everyone were to pick a different one.
See, that's a great thing. Everybody voted for BJ. Well, the thing is, normally you can kind of get a feel for that. You can look around the table and be like, oh, I'm definitely a target. And you can play your ambush card. So had everybody voted for him and had he played his ambush card, he wouldn't have been out and he'd get to knock out one of the people that voted for him.
This literally sounds like Survivor. I'm loving it.
Yes. I think you would actually very much enjoy this game. It plays, how many? 10, 11, 12?
I think we were playing 12?
Yeah, that's a huge game.
Yeah, I think it goes to 12.
And I think we still had like one or two cards left, colors. So it plays quite a few people, so it's a good for a party game, whether you're an experienced gamer or not. I would play this again.
It sounds like it's a pretty fun game to watch, too. That way, when you get knocked out, it's not boring.
No. Yeah. And it was funny because some people were still flashing their cards even though they were out and BJ wasn't paying attention.
Yes.
He's like, what? I thought you were going to vote for him. He's like, I'm out. I'm not going to vote for anybody. I can't vote for anybody.
And that's the best kind of cheating. I love it.
Oh, it was so much fun. Just because of watching everyone's dynamic.
I bet a beverage or two probably doesn't hurt when you're playing this game, you know?
Oh, yeah. The more animated, the better in that game.
Yeah. It was funny because BJ's like, man, you're my man. It's like, no, he's not your man because you just double-crossed him. And because you're trying to make an alliance with me, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to kill your man.
Yep.
Well, it's that thing where BJ decides you're on his team, where you had no part of it.
Yes.
Yeah, Joe, you're my man. You've been the man. We're on a team. We know. And you're like, wait, what?
When did we become allied? Why was I not informed? Because there's a tax.
But it you do end up gaining gold, and you don't know how much the gold is worth because it's all face down until you pick it up. Whoever reaches a certain amount.
I think 24.
24, yeah. And then you lay them all out, and however much everybody has determines winner for second, third place.
Well,
that kind
of sounds
thing.
Like a great little game to intro next time, maybe when we're playing. All right, well, I'm into it. One last game I would like to talk about real quick before we get to the quick starter with Sean Epperson. We got to play a game we actually talked about on Kickstarter, I believe, a couple weeks ago, Cover Your Kingdom. And you guys might remember this because of the awesome Bragon and all the also other cool, oddly named
Cyclops,
the Volcant. we got to finally play this game, and it's a pretty simple card drafting game in which, similar to Uno, you want to similar to Go Fish or something, you want to click two of a kind, really, so you can protect your cards, because what you're trying to do is recruit units to your kingdom. At two at a time, you can get more, but I think two is probably the right way you should go in this game, because people are trying to steal your critters from your kingdom. And let me tell you, Sean did a lot of stealing, living up to his name. I mean, fun game, but Sean, how did you manage to crush everyone so easily?
It was careful planning, just watching what people were playing and like keeping cards in my hand. Like, okay, I can blow this away from Joey and then like steal this other big, huge stack of points from him.
So you got lucky.
Oh no, it was skill, baby.
No, it was off skill. I don't believe it.
Pure skill. No, this game is so great, and it's by Grandpa Beck's Games. They funded it on Kickstarter. They crushed it on Kickstarter, so that's definitely going to be coming out for people to be able to buy. Until then, Grandpa Beck's actually has a bunch of other games that easily get on Amazon, like Cover Your Assets, which is basically the precursor for Cover Your Kingdoms.
Yeah, and I've got the great rundown from them, and actually a lot of their games are some of the highest rated card games on Amazon and all those lovely Board Game Geek sites and all that, which I thought was crazy because, of course, I mean, I've heard of the games, but I'm a board game noob. You know, I haven't had the luxury of playing all of these lovely games that you guys have, but from what I could tell, it seemed pretty cool and quick, easy to learn, good art, it's funny. It was interesting how he described the game as almost telling its own story while you're playing it, so that you're not, you know, like bored waiting for people to play their turns, because every card is unique and funny and actually has like different art on every card that has something going on based on the other cards.
Yep.
I mean, so much cool design went into this game, but on the surface it's easy to pick up and play. But I'll tell you, you get a couple rounds into that game and you realize that it is not easy to keep your kingdom full of critters. People really do a good job of trying to steal your stuff, so you got to cover your kingdom. But we also got a little sneak peek into what might be happening later on in their development in their game. And I got to tell you, with the quick starter goals included, if you back it up all the way, you're going to get some really cool additions and a lot more depth in terms of point collection, which I thought was really cool, because right now we play the base game where everyone's doing the same objective. Later on, you might be getting, you know, individual tiles or characters that have special abilities or might give you bonuses. So really looking forward to seeing what that turns out to be later on. And hopefully getting a copy. Who knows? Who knows? You know, Kickstarter gets it to you eventually, right?
Exactly.
Moving along, though, we do need to get to other amazing Kickstarters with the Kickstarter with Sean Epperson. Sean.
So first we're going to cover The Isle of Cats. This is by City of Games, the designer of City of Kings. So he's got a bit of a track record there. It was a really popular game. The Isle of Cats is a 1-4 player game. If you add in the expansion, you can go up to 6 players. Plays in 60 to 90 minutes. Now in this game, what you're basically trying to do is rescue cats from the evil lord Vesh. And by rescuing these cats, you're going to be placing them on this ship that you have. All the cats are these crazy polyomino shapes. Think Tetris, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Makes me think of Patchwork.
Yes, very much like that. And so you're collecting cats. You're trying to get them in color groups because you get bonuses for having those groups together. And then they go basically on your board if you can place them in certain ways. There's some feeding of the cats. There's places on your map that you may want to cover, places you may not want to cover because there's varying objectives. Really, really cool looking game. Getting a lot of really good press from this as well.
I love the style of art. The cats almost are like foxes, the way they're designed. They're very, like, lengthy, and they look mischievous, and they barely fit into spots because of the way they're designed. Like you said, like Tetris pieces almost.
They're sprawled out in really crazy ways.
I mean, and that's a cat. Like, a cat can fit into... If I fits, I sits, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I was looking through the components, and I normally hate painted meeples. I don't like them. I know.
But?
It's not super positive, but... These cat meeples are painted in a very unique way that they are cool. I really want them.
They're
now.
Not super, super detailed, but they are, like, the way they did detail them are really nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. I want them.
And they got wooden fish.
Wooden fish.
Yeah, there's tons of really good components in this. The tiles are, you know, good-sized tiles. Lots of cool little, like, cat meeples. There's a special one that's for each cat clan, if you will, that has the special designs on it. They've been crushing tons of different stretch goals so far. The base price on this one is $63. They're at $248,000 of their $18,000 goal.
Ooh, crushed it.
With over 3,000 backers. So
wow.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Rev from the regular Geek Nation is going to really, really like this.
Rev loves cats. And if you love cats, I have a little something for you.
This ends on July 25th, so check this one out.
Yeah, if you guys do love cats, type Tabby Cat into your Google Chrome. It's an extension, and what it does is every time you open a new web browser, it opens a new cat. I'm not kidding you. It's like it's like Spicy Cat, Icy Hot Cat, Cool Cat, and I'm
Sounds
not kidding
like a
you.
Virus.
Oh, it is incredible. I am not a huge cat fan. I mean, I like cats, but I'm more of a dog person. But when I saw this Tabby Cat, I'm like, this is genius. You can open up your tab, and every time you do it, gives you a new cat. This is brilliant. So you can enjoy that.
Well, next up is Shovel Knight Dungeon Duels by Panda Cult Games.
Shovel or Shovel?
Shovel
Okay.
Knight.
Like digging a hole.
Like the indie game, video game, Shovel Knight.
Oh.
Where your knight actually has a shovel as a weapon.
He's got demon horns, too.
He's got, yeah, just big giant horns on his helmet.
I feel like they're more like the Viking, you know, rah, horns. Anyways.
It's a competitive side-scrolling miniature board game where players are going to be competing against each other with their different colored knights, and they're going to be battling monsters as well as each other. You're trying to basically be the best shovel knight by acquiring treasure and getting points and things like that.
Oh, you said competitive side-scrolling shoveling miniature. Say that three times fast, Marie Shot. I missed
no,
it.
No, please don't.
So, yeah, this is based off of the video game. So they're pulling art directly from that.
Yeah,
the minis on this
look
amazing.
Oh. The art's 8-bit style, like original Legend of Zelda. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I mean, the art on the box doesn't look 8-bit, but everything else does.
Right.
Yeah, the minis in this are super crazy, super good. The big boss minis are just awesome looking. Tons of really cool stuff that they've got in this. They have a really high goal that they're trying to reach in order to have all this cool stuff in there, which is 80K. They're currently at about 41 of that, so they've got some time to go. This ends on July 27th, so you're definitely going to want to get in there and check this out. And I think this is one that people are really going to dig. If you like that style of game, if you like minis, if you like Shovel Knight the board game, or Shovel Knight the video game, which is amazing, definitely check this out for sure.
The idea of a Shovel Knight reminds me of Mystery Men. So much. I am the Shoveler.
Last up, this is one that is going to get a lot of press when it finally hits everybody's tables. This is the Dwellings of Eldervale by Breaking Games.
I see one picture for this game, and I'm already sold.
I'm looking at one of the meeples, and I'm already sold.
Right?
Scroll down, Joe.
The quick starter itself is literally jumping as we are talking about this.
So in Dwellings of Eldervale, this is worker placement, tableau building, you've got variable player powers, you have a modular board, there's area control, you've got custom meeples, there's dice, and there's tons of minis. All the stuff that makes everybody super excited.
I scrolled down and saw the meeple. Becky, I'm sold.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is this is a quote from Tom Vassell, who says, Dwellings has a lot of great mechanism in it with cool worker placement and blah, blah, blah. I got to control a giant monster.
I mean, I feel like most people are going to be sold on that.
Yeah, the art in this is just amazing. It looks so good. There's so much stuff that you can do in this game. Definitely a gamer-style game. And all the big people that have been reviewing this and checking this out have been giving it super high marks.
And what's the goal on this?
So the goal is 80K. Mm-hmm. They're at 276K. With almost 3,000 backers.
Wow.
So they've been crushing all kinds of different stretch goals. In the game, they I love this. There are these player trays. And the player trays are all custom formed. So you aren't going to have to put your stuff together in any specific way. Basically, you put it in these trays, and that's how it's going to go in the box.
Are those the game trays?
Game trays,
exactly. They have a website. You can buy a lot of pre-done stuff, but they've been lately doing game trays for like Mechs vs. Minions, the upcoming Eclipse Second Dawn for the Galaxy, and now in this. The game trays are great.
They have not only one board, but also a hexagon board that comes along with the game as well. So they cover both of the bases, guys. They got the squares and the hexes. They said, why choose one when you can do both?
There's a solo play element, if that's something that you're interested in. So that's there for people. If you go for the deluxe game, then there's some extra minis that you're going to get for monsters that you can fight in the game, along with metal coins, wood resources as an upgrade. If you go for the legendary version, then you get even more monsters with these crazy abilities. And I love this. If you go for the legendary and get the special monsters, they actually come with sound bases that play two different sounds. So your monsters are going to make literal sound.
That's awesome.
What?
And I mean, the monsters, I mean, I see a hippogriff, I see a dragon, I see a giant demon.
Elementals, there's a giant sea monster. Yeah, there's so much cool stuff in this. It's a little bit of a pricier game. It's $69 for the base game. Still, $69 for the base game includes the game trays, which is pretty awesome. That's a decent price.
Yeah, and if you look at the components real quick, there's a lot of components.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you go for the $99 deluxe pledge, that's where you get some of the extra minis. And then it's $139 for the legendary, which gets you the monsters and their talking bases, their sound-creating bases.
Which I feel like at this point, you kind of have to do it.
Yeah, really. This game is like definitely going to be in the hotness for sure. And if you're one of the people that wants to be playing the game that everybody is going to be talking about, this is the one for sure.
Well, thanks, Sean. Before we go, I do have one meme.
Memes for us!
I'm going to do one because we really got to go.
All right. What's your one awesome meme of the day, Vicky?
All right. It was a conversation.
Ooh.
It says, when I was in high school, my AP English teacher told us we weren't allowed to eat in class. So I took that as a personal challenge to see what the most ridiculous thing I could eat in class without getting caught was. So I started bringing soup to class, and as soon as I'd crack the lid of my thermos, the tiniest bit, like just a little bit crack, this football player that sat like three rows in front of me was like, I smell meat. Someone has soup. And no one ever believed him. It's like football player has +2 to perception and -2 to charisma.
Yes.
Could you imagine just like.
Hey, I've been sitting in math class and smelled some soup and been like, damn,
see,
I'm hungry.
When I smell soup in a weird place, I immediately think it's a fart. Oh. And I get scared and I stop smelling.
This is how I know I've been playing board games too long. When you started to tell that meme, I was thinking, why was there a teacher analysis paralysis-ing?
That's what I was thinking too.
Wow.
You said AP.
I know.
I have a question. Who smells meat and says there must be soup?
The football player.
I mean, I guess maybe it's a chunky, beef
right?
Hamburger soup
it
or
must
something.
Be.
I'll say, whenever I smell food, I go, is that pizza?
I play the game, is it fart or food? Because it's like, I don't want to inhale too much in case it's a fart.
No, there's a game for you.
It's a game. And someone, I actually recently told Joey's sister about this game. She's like, I've never heard this game before. I'm like, it's a dumb game I play myself. Yeah. I made it up. It's not a fun game. There's no winners.
I feel like you need to eat at better restaurants.
Yeah. Or you eat too many eggs. One of the two.
Or I just know too many people that, their farts smell like beef stroganoff. I don't know.
Oh,
now I won't. No.
I'm out.
No. Damn it. Well, on that note, hopefully you go get some pizza today and not some eggs. Josh, take us away.
Play nice.